Okay, well, today is Father's Day, isn't it? So all you dads out there, happy Father's Day. Of course, no matter who our earthly dads are, no matter who they are, we all have the same Heavenly Father. And that makes our lives extra special. It always does for each of us. Knowing that, you know, we have the perfect Father. We have access to Him. And He is perfect in every way. For each of us, to each of us. And He knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves sometimes. And, you know, there's nothing that He does not concern Himself about with our lives. And we have a lot to be thankful for because of that. It's kind of what it says in 1 John, right? In 1 John chapter 3, isn't that where it declares that simple truth, which is what Greg was sharing a little bit about, you know, our identity. You know, who are we in Christ? We are sons of God first. That's who we are. In 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2, speaks very plainly, you know, that behold, what manner of love the Father, He is the Father. There is no other Father than Him worth having. You know, yes, we have our earthly dads, our earthly fathers. They do the best they can in the flesh, but the Father for all of us is God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He has decided that He wants to be our Father. And in doing that, He has made us His sons. And with great love, He should call us the sons of God. And the text, the Greek text, adds the phrase, and we are so. You know, it's not just that He calls us His sons, we are sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You know, right now we are sons of God. That is who we are first and foremost each and every day. That we wake, our first thought should be toward our Heavenly Father, greeting Him for the day. You know, Father, thank You for making me Your son. Thank You for making me Your daughter. And He has done that. And it's irreversible. You know, He has shown great love in doing that. Because, you know, I don't know that all of us, even collectively, could put all of our good works together and have it be such that it would earn that position. If we would sum up all of our works in this room. And I'm sure we have some pretty good works among us through the years. Maybe some that aren't worth anything, but maybe some that are, right? None of us are, you know, bad people at heart. We want to do good things. We've done good things. But collectively, even if you put 1,000 people in this room, collectively, those good works would not measure up to earning the standing of a son before God or being made the righteousness of God. See? So it's with great love that God has, by His grace, made us His children. He has begotten us, it says. We are born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. We are born of God. At the moment that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that He has that kind of power, that He has that kind of ability, and we've believed that. That thing that's seemingly impossible, we really believed it, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. At that moment, He puts His seed within us. At that moment, we are born again. See? And we are made His sons. What great love. We didn't do anything but believe something. We didn't do anything but look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, now He's the master. He is the master. He knows how to live life. He knows how to honor God. He knows how to believe God. He knows how to walk in love. He is the master, and He's my master. That's all we've done. Right? I mean, that's all we did. And God says to us, okay, it's miracle, miracle, miracle time for you. I will place My seed within you. I will make you My son, My daughter. I will give you a righteous standing before Me, not because of your flesh, but because of what you have in your heart acknowledged. This is a awesome thing. It's awesome. And now He is our Father. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, look at Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ." You know, He is the God, He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings too, in the heavenly places, and is with Christ. Wow. You know, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He ascended Him into heaven, He sat Him on His own right hand, He just gave Him all authority, all dominion, a name which is above every name. I mean, He honored Him for His willingness to give His life as a sacrifice, right? And God, when God did that, He gave us that same blessing. He's blessed us with Christ, with all spiritual blessings. According, verse 4 says, "As He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." You know, before the foundation of the world, before God set this plan of redemption in motion, He had a goal in mind. He had the end in mind. Not just redemption, not just salvation, not just fixing the error that Adam and Eve pulled off by disobeying Him, but He had a more serious goal in mind. He wanted to make all men, all women, His children. He wanted a family that He could not lose. You know, once that's accomplished, then it's forever. And this was something that He planned from, you know, right from the start. Right from the start. He said, you know, I'm going to fix this and I'm going to fix it right this time. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, when He looks at His Son, Jesus Christ, seated on His right hand, does He see Him as the reason for giving His life a payment for sin? No, He's not to blame for that, is He? He's not to blame for all the sin and the error and the disobedience and the conflict between man and God. Jesus Christ is not the one who's to blame for that. He was the fix for it. He was the solution to it. So when He looks at His Son, Jesus Christ, He sees His Son holy, sanctified, right? Holy is set apart. Right? Set apart. Very, very special. It's not just, you know, holy like some people would use the word holy. It's separate. It's special. It's sanctified. Right? He sees Him as unique and special. He sees Him as not to blame for all the problems. He has raised us up. He has seated us and blessed us with the same blessings that He has given to His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, He has given to us. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children, or literally, He's placed us as His sons before Him. Just like Jesus Christ, He raised Him up, He ascended Him, said, "Sit down. You are holy and without blame, not your fault for all these problems." Well, we have the same acceptance before our Heavenly Father. He's made us that same way before Him. Now, are we that way in the flesh? No. We make mistakes. This flesh is not perfect. It makes mistakes. It's weak here, weak there. You know, it's strong here, it's strong there. Okay. But it's not perfect. It is far from perfect. But in Christ is how God looks at us. In Christ is how He beholds us. He has placed us as His sons. And that placement of sons grants us great privilege and great access to God. Great blessing. You know, all spiritual blessings are ours. Why? Not because we're perfect, but because God has placed us as His sons and daughters. That's why He can bless us with all spiritual blessings, because we're His children. We're His sons. And He accepts us, just like it says here, this is according to the good pleasure of His will. This is what God just loved to bring to pass. He wanted to do this right from the start. He wanted to make all that would believe His children. He would all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Not just certain groups, not just Israel. All. See, Israel was God's chosen people because someone had to represent Him to the nations. But remember what it said to what God said to Abraham before the law of Moses, before Israel? What did He say to Abraham? I will make you the father of one nation, Israel, my chosen people. No, many nations. Many nations. All of the nations of the world will have access to Me through this plan that I will bring to pass through you, Abraham, because you're believing Me. And that's what it's going to take. Believing, just believing. Turn your heart to Me. Trust that what I tell you is true. Have confidence that My promises, I will back up. God will do this for His children. He can't lie to His children. He can't lie. He's not a man that He even has to lie. God doesn't answer to anybody but His own integrity. God answers to Himself. That's why He's God. Because when He says something, He knows that He will never speak a lie. He knows that He will never speak falsely, untruly. He will speak truth all the time. And His promises are true. They're true. And when He says, you know, this is something that pleased Him to make us His children, to place us as sons, He meant it. He meant it. No regrets with God. None. To the praise, verse 6 says, of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Or He's accepted us as loved ones. He's accepted us as His loved ones. Just like Jesus Christ, His lovely one. Jesus Christ obeyed Him, He believed Him, and God accepted that, right? I mean, why wouldn't He? He was perfect in every way. He accepts us the same way. You know, that is so huge. That is so huge. If we could wrap our minds around the reality that He accepts us as not who we are in the flesh, but as what He has made us and done for us as His children, as those who've chosen to believe. We won't have any problem knowing that He's going to get my wallet back. He's going to get me a roommate. He's going to heal my heart. He's going to get me what I need. He's going to heal my physical body. He's going to reconcile all these things in my life that are torn apart. He can do this. He will grant you the desires on your heart. Because you're His son. You're His daughter. And He's accepted you just like He accepted His only begotten Son. That's pretty cool. Because when you look, you know, at what He did once He did raise Jesus Christ from the dead, as it says in verse 20, which He wrought in Christ, this power that He exhibited, the power that He showed, the power that He has, He exhibited, He wrought it in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He's placed Him above that. And He has accepted us and placed us up there too. You know, what a great Father to have. What a great position to have in life. A son of the Most High God. A daughter of the Most High God. You know, when we dads, you know, we look at our sons and we go, yeah, that's my son, I love him. We look at our daughters and we go, oh, that's my daughter. I'd give her anything she wants. Yeah. Daughters are special. Yeah. But sons are special too. See? And God loves each of us. And God looks at us and it says, I accept you as my holy loved one. You are my beloved. I paid a price for you. I will take care of you every minute, every day of your life. So, what a great joy to know that, you know, regardless of who our earthly dads are, we have a Heavenly Father that is second to none. You know, what a great blessing it is to know that. And to know where we stand in His sight. Not because of our own works, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us. You know, that's why we can benefit from it. And that's what motivates us to make Him proud of us. You did this. It was pleasing to You to do this, to make me Your son. I'm going to do everything I can to live my life honestly and open before You. I'm going to live my life, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to say, instead of, oh crap, another day, I'm going to say, good morning, Lord. You know, hello, Father. Good morning. Another great day to live. I'm Your son. I'm Your daughter. Let's go. You know, let's live life. Let's have a great day. You know? And then that's all God is seeking, for us to acknowledge all that He's done. That's all He wants from us. He just wants our hearts. He wants that innermost part of your being to recognize His great love for you, His great grace, and the great benefit it is to be placed as a son or daughter in His presence. Okay? So, Father, thanks for Your blessings. Thank You that we are Your children and we can walk acknowledging each and every step that we take that we are Your children, but most of all that You are our Heavenly Father. And You're the same Father to us as You were to Your Son, Jesus Christ. That You're there for us each and every day, that You empower us, You strengthen us, You guide our steps, You answer our prayers, and you're awesome, and we love You, and we're thankful for it. Thanks, Father, that we can remember each and every minute of every day who You've made us and walk in that great blessing. Thanks in the name of Jesus Christ.